So, are you worried? Are you feeling a bit anxious in your heart and mind right now about perhaps something going on in your life, in the life of your family? Maybe you've been going in and out of worry over the political situation in our country, over who exactly will be the next president of the United States, and what that might mean for the future of our country, and what that might mean as to what kind of country your kids and grandkids will grow up in. It's a crazy election cycle. I've never seen, I'm 52. Some of you are much older than I am. Some are younger. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy! And certainly, depending on how you look at the whole thing, it definitely can be something that engenders anxiety, worry, fear. And so can things like your health. Your health or the health and well-being of someone that you love, your spouse, a child. And if it's not the physical, it's spiritual. You're concerned about the decisions that your kids make, and do they know the Lord? Are they going to follow the Lord? Are they going to, what's with them? You love your kids, and so it's something that is very easy to worry about. And and if you're a young person, there are things in your world that can tempt you to become very anxious. Something in school with your friends, with your work, thinking about college and where that's going to be and what that's going to be like. And if it's not those kinds of things, oftentimes it's, the state of your marriage, your spouse, your job, your finances, retirement. Man, am I going to be able to do that? Lots of different things, right? All depends who you are. And concern about all the things that I've just mentioned and more is important. It's necessary to have. Concern is a good thing. If you're not concerned, something is probably wrong. But worry isn't appropriate for any of the situations that I just listed or whatever you can think of. God actually forbids worry. He doesn't forbid concern, but he forbids worry. In Matthew, remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples, people like you, they were his followers. And he told them explicitly, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. And then later, Paul in Philippians 2 was very explicit again, and he said, don't worry about anything. So God has put up a wall there, and he is forbidden any of us, any of his children, from getting into this mode of anxiety and worry about all the kinds of things that I just mentioned. Now, what's the difference between concern, which is important and needed, and worry, which is forbidden? What's the difference? Well, simply put, worry is misplaced concern. Worry is taking concern over a matter of importance and taking it off into the future and obsessing over it and obsessing over what may or may not happen about that situation, regarding that person, or that job, or those finances. It's stepping out there and trying to, it often leads to trying to control things that you can't, but you try. And the result is you begin to worry. That legitimate concern is perverted into the monster of worry, and it takes over you, and leads to all sorts of things. Well, Peter addresses this matter of worry. And if you recall from your study, from your knowledge of 1 Peter, these people had things that they certainly could have worried about. They were being persecuted for their faith. Literally, persecuted for their faith. And you can just imagine a little bit as to what they may have worried about. You know, am I going to be thrown into jail? What's my spouse going to think, you know, when I come home and tell them that I placed my faith in Christ? On and on. Well, Peter mentions a few things in the verses that Richie read a moment ago that are designed to help you so that you don't worry, so that you don't take concern and misplace it into the future, but rather you keep that concern right where it belongs, in the present, where you can do something constructive, something that's within your realm of responsibility. So what does he say? Well, the first thing that he says, something that you need to think about and remember and believe, is that God cares for you. God cares for you. Children, teenagers, students in school, God cares for you. Moms, dads, as you're dealing with your kids, trying to help them follow the Lord, God, the same God that you're trying to get your kids to follow and love and obey, God cares for you as you're doing all that. Dads, moms, as you go off to work and you carry out your job and deal with that boss and relate to those who are working alongside you and all the challenges that the workplace brings, what God wants you to know and understand, and it's huge, He cares for you. Amen. If you're older, you've left the workplace. You're just working to stay alive. God cares for you. He cares for all of His children, no matter who they are, what walk of life you are on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, God cares for you. And the care that He has for you is constant. It's not on and off. It's not as if on Monday He cares and on Tuesday He's sort of indifferent. No, His care of you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's constant. It's not past tense. It is, but it's not exclusively past tense. He cares for you. Presently, here and now, and off into the future, every day the same. Every day He cares for you. Not some days or most days, but every day. There is never a second that goes by that God doesn't love and care for you. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So God doesn't stop caring for you because He nods off, because He's exhausted or tired, because there's so much to keep up with. Now that's you and me, right? We nod off. We're tired because we have so much to keep up with. But that's not the God that you serve. He never tires. He has an infinite supply of strength and power and wisdom. He can handle you and everybody else in the entire world. No problem. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 121. And God's care remains constant toward you, even when you're not what you should be and can be as a child of God. There are times, right, where we're not what we should be. We're not in a good place. But God doesn't put His care on hold because out of your pride, you've decided to go your own way and do certain things according to your own wisdom, and you sin and you make a mess of things. If you genuinely know Christ and you're in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the care that God has committed to you. The reason why you're in the family of God is because of your elder brother Jesus Christ and the fact that He was faithful throughout all of His days. He lived that righteous life and He went all the way to the cross and was righteous all the way. And so on account of the record of obedience of Christ by His life right into His death, that's the basis of your acceptance with God. And that's what opened the floodgates to God's care of you. And so God's care of you is constant. Now, the way He cares for you when maybe you're not living the way that you ought to live, some of the ways in which He cares are a bit different. But He's still caring, doing the very best for you to help you follow Him in the way that you should. So God's care is constant. And it's also comprehensive. All your matters are of concern to God. His care is comprehensive. Sometimes we think that our situation, our particular thing that's on your mind that you're tempted to worry about is really small and insignificant. Why would God take notice of this? Why would He care about, you know, this little item at work over with, you know, that I'm, you know, just stressed out about? Why would He care about whether I, pass this test so that, you know, I can move on to the next grade or whatever? Why would He care about something, you know, so insignificant, or someone like me who really, I mean, you know, a few people know me? No, that's not the way God operates. He cares for all of His people, and He's concerned about all the issues in your life. In the Gospels, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, when talking about worry and fear, He brings up a couple of different things to demonstrate the fact that His care is pretty minute and mundane for you. I mean, He cares about the birds, the little sparrows. He knows when one of them falls to the ground. I mean, you're more important than a sparrow. Jesus makes that point in Matthew 6, right? You're an image bearer of God. God cares about the sparrow. There's nothing too small in your life that He doesn't care about. It also says that He cares about you to the point where He knows the number of hairs on your head. I know what you're thinking. I'm not going there. But He cares. I mean, I really don't care how many numbers of hair you have on your head, and I don't think you care about mine anymore. But God knows, and He cares. And that's to make a point that you shouldn't ever think that you or the items on your list that you look at and you begin to stress out over are things that God doesn't care about. Think about it this way. One of the doctrines that we believe as Reformed Christians is that God decreed all things. Right? God's decrees are God's plans that He made before eternity that govern all of history. And His decrees, those decisions that He made, those plans that He made, pertain to everything. There is nothing left out. There is nothing that ever takes place in anybody's life, in any period of history, that hasn't been planned by God. Now, that's hard for us to think and try to understand, but that's what the Scriptures plainly teach? Well, you're dealing with things that God planned. He cared enough to plan, you know, your life and the things that you deal with from day to day that can generate worry and anxiety are things that God has given to you and things that He actually cares about, and He cares about you. His care is comprehensive. He's up to something, right? All things work together for the good of those who love God, have been called according to His purpose. The all things are the things that He ordained before the foundation of the world. And out of His love and concern, these things happen in your life, and He's there to help you and care for you through those so that His good purposes actually transpire in your life. Not apart from those circumstances, but through those circumstances as you trust His care and deal with those circumstances in a way consistent with His will. So His care of you is comprehensive. He has a huge, gigantic, infinite plan, and you're right there in the middle of it, along with all your particular issues. And He's right there caring, seeking to accomplish good things, even through those particular items on your list that you find hard not to worry about. So His care is constant and comprehensive, and it's also unstoppable. It's unstoppable. Peter makes a reference in verse 6 to the mighty hand of God. Now, God doesn't have an actual hand, right? But it's an image that tells you something about God. It's an expression that's used of God when he delivered His people out of Egypt. And it's an image that speaks of the indomitable power of God. The power of God which He unleashed when He sent the plagues on the Egyptians. Parted the Red Sea for His people. Destroyed the enemy as they passed through, allowing His people to get onto the other side. And then by His mighty hand over many, many years, He guided His people into the promised land. So God cared for His people by displaying His mighty power, His mighty hand, in delivering them. Nothing could stop God's care. He has great power. And He wields His power in the lives of His people as a means of caring for them, as He cared for the Israelites. They were praying, they were hurting, they were crying out to Him. He heard their cry, sent Moses, and then through the leadership of Moses, God displayed His mighty hand and delivered them safely out of Egypt. Nothing, no one, not even you, ultimately can stop the power of God in caring for you. Now, Satan tried to stop God from delivering you and all of His people from bondage to sin and eternal death. That's what Satan was trying to do in the temptation, the three temptations that he brought against Christ. He was trying to derail Jesus Christ from getting to Calvary. But it didn't work. God, by His mighty power, unleashed that power on His Son, leading His Son to die and then to rise again, defeating the evil one. And by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, God in His care has saved you and given you the promise of eternal life with Him in the promised land of the new heavens and a new earth. That's happened as far as you being saved and on a trajectory to spend eternity with God. Satan couldn't stop that from happening. God's power brought it about in His care for you. And He's going to make sure that you actually arrive. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about the fact that He is preserving you by His power so that you actually one day are going to be able to enjoy life in that new world. God's care of you is unstoppable. In between time, while you await that, God's care that brought you into His family continues to be shown. Nothing can stop it. He is committed to caring for you. Now, with that in mind, and there's more that could be said there, but just taking what I said, consolidating it into the simple phrase that Peter uses, God cares for you. What should come of it? What should be the reflex of your soul to that truth, according to Peter? When you think about who might be the next president, I'm not going to call names. I'll let you fill in the blank. The person that would just go, oh, no, no, it can't be. I don't know who you're thinking about. But you, whatever name, okay? Everyone's different. But with that name up there, January 2017, think about that person walking up to the podium to give the speech. Think about that. Well, in light of what God says here about His care for you, what should your response be among others? When you think about your kids and your concern for where they are with God, legitimate concern, but when you start fretting and worrying and going out to where you don't belong in the world of worry, in light of what Peter says here that God cares for you, what should your response be? Peter says, cast all your worries upon God. Very simple. In one sense, it's not real complicated. I mean, obviously, I know I live in the same world you do, and I've been in and out of maybe mild anxiety over this presidential thing, you know, somewhat. But there are other things that get me, that challenge me as a pastor and as a father and, you know, just as a person. We all have it. But the beauty of what Peter says, it's just beautifully simple. God cares for you. And that's huge. You got to think about that. In light of that, what you should do is cast all those worries upon Him. Throw them on Him. Place them on Him. They rightly belong to Him, okay? They don't belong to you. That's the problem. When you start taking those things, that's when you begin to worry. So you place them upon Him. Now, Paul expounds on this a bit more about exactly what this casting is all about. It's about praying. Remember what Paul says in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true and honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, focus or think about these things. What you've learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So when Peter talks about casting your cares upon God, he's talking about what Paul is talking about in Philippians. Praying. And he's talking about praying specifically. Okay, you take whatever, maybe over this past week or over the course of the past month or the last 6 months, something that's been a real struggle for you that where you have, you know, started to really worry and fret and fear. Well, God wants you to be very specific about what it is. Dear Father, I'm really, really, well, not concerned, I'm concerned, but, you know, I'm really worrying, as you know, about so-and-so being the next president of the United States. And I'll let you fill in the blank. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll let you fill in the blank, okay? Whoever that might be. and praying specifically like that about it. Or if it's a child, or if it's, you know, school, if it's your job, if it's your finances. Talk to God. You know, you talk to lots of other people. Talk to the person. Communicate with him. Spend time talking to God specifically about whatever it is that is causing you, or not causing you, but over which you're choosing to worry. Talk to God about it. And when you do, Paul talks about doing so with a thankful heart. Why? I mean, I don't think I would be worrying about something that was worthy of being thankful for. Right? Usually things we're thankful for are things that are positive, things are going well, you know, you don't have a worry in sight. But clearly in Paul's context, he's talking about the things that are of real concern to you that have led you to worry. Paul says that there ought to be an attitude of thanksgiving that you have when you pray. Why? Because you know that God is working all things together for your good, even the situation that you are in over which you have done a lot of worrying. We believe that, right? Is God sort of taking his hands off, or is God totally detached from what's going on in our country concerning the candidates? We know he's not. He's very much plugged in. There's no leader that ever takes the reins that God hasn't ultimately placed there. So the idea is that we're getting on board with God. Whether it's presidential politics, whether it's your family, obviously there are things that are of real concern to you, things that you're trying to work on and solve with your kids, solve with your spouse, and you need to be doing those kinds of things. But God's there, and He cares, and He's doing something in your life through the whole situation, and it's a good thing. You may not be able to see it now, but He promises that He's working those things together for your good. So you've got to trust Him. And if you believe that He's there and doing good things, then you've got to be thankful. And obviously, we're always to be thankful for the salvation that we have. And all that that means. All the blessings that that affords you. Like having a God that you can pray to who cares for you and listens to your prayers and actually answers your prayers according to His infinite wisdom and according to His perfect timing. Now, after praying, like Peter tells you to do, cast your cares upon Him, and as Paul tells you, and pray specifically with a thankful attitude, as you do that as a way of life, once you've done that, Paul does go on to say that there are things that you need to be about doing. What does he say in verse 8 again? He says, it's still in the same, dealing with the same theme of praying and not worrying. He says, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, worthy of praise, focus your mind on those things. Now, one major thing that fits in the context or in that verse 8 under one of those headings is the kinds of things that you are responsible to do in the matter over which you are worried. Remember, worry is misplaced concern. And what you do when you step out of your territory and you step into God's territory, trying to do things that He is supposed to do, that He's in charge of, that He's in control of. You've got to get out of there. And you go back and you do that by praying and say, God, okay, I give it to you. And then you come back and you say, all right, Lord, I've prayed. It's in your hands. Now, there are things that I need to do. If it's finances that you're worrying about, yeah, you pray. But then maybe you got to form some kind of budget. Talk to someone who knows what they're doing to help you order things. If it's your kids, Okay? Things that we all are concerned about, that we can worry about. Yes, you pray about the future outcome of their decisions and of their own lives and hearts. But with that in place, there are things that you need to be doing. We have a parenting workshop coming up this coming Saturday. You don't have to go to that, but it's something designed to help the body of Christ, parents, to come together and lean on one another, learn from one another, talk about things that are going on in your families, and help one another. Because you're in it together. Okay, no one should be an island to themselves when it comes to parenting their children. That's a mistake. We're part of the body of Christ, and part of the body of Christ is coming together and humbly talking about what's going on and saying, hey, I need help with this, I need help with that. What does the Bible say? And with wise leadership, everyone can work together, shoulder to shoulder, at seeking to raise their children to know God and follow God. It takes humility to do that. It really does. But there are things we need to be doing. We pray and then we work and do the things that are our responsibility that God's not going to do for ourselves. Those things are honorable. Those things are good, as Paul talks about in verse 8. And what's happening, all right? What's happening when you pray and focus on your responsibilities and the matters that you tend to worry about? When you pray, you are rightly acknowledging God's control and His power and His concern about the matters that are in your life. And you're saying, God, I know this belongs to You. I leave it there, and I know You're powerful and strong. You're wise. You know what You're doing. And so you've placed it in His hands. And then by focusing on what is in your realm of responsibility, you're doing the things that God wants you to do that He's not going to do Himself for you. And when you have both of those working, what Paul says later or in the text that I read, God's peace starts to show up. Your concern is still there, and your concern is plugged in and focused on the right things, the things that you should be doing. The peace comes in the future outcome of things because you've placed it in God's hands while you're doing the things that He wants you to do. The peace of God comes. And a blessing, and what a blessing it is. Now, an interesting point that is made in going back to our text in 1 Peter is in the connection between verses 6 and 7. And it's this. For you and I not to cast our worries upon God is nothing short of pride. Which is why Peter says, humble yourselves. He says, humble yourselves, casting your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. See the connection? So casting your worries on God is a sign of humility. And conversely, not casting your worries upon God and worrying about them is an indication of pride at some level. How is it pride? Well, God says He cares for you. That's either true or it's not. When you choose to worry, to some degree, you're saying, oh, no, you don't care. He says He does care. Doesn't mean He's going to take away the situation over which you're worrying. But He does care and He's involved. Humility says, okay, I accept the situation that You have placed me in. And I know You're with me. You trust Him and you work with Him. Pride, I've got to take control of this situation and do something about it. And then you just you become consumed over all the ifs and maybes and what may or may not happen. With pride, you're stepping into God's territory. Only God is God, right? He's the one that can handle the future and the possibilities of what may or may not happen. You don't belong there. And it's pride for you to stand there trying to control. That's what happens when you worry, you start controlling. You try to control people and try to make sure they do what you want them to do. You try to control situations, you try to prevent this from happening and try to make this happen. And when that's going on and you're out here where God is the only one who belongs in, then you start to worry and fear. You don't belong there. It's God's business. God says He cares. You've got to believe Him in humility. God's in control. You're not. See, that's at the core of our sinfulness is the idea of wanting to be mini kings and to control our world. And that doesn't work for very long. And one of the symptoms that come along is this whole issue of worry and anxiety. God is king. He's in control. Bow out. Place things in His hands and do the things that He's given you to do. That's humility. Humility believes and accepts that God cares. Humility bows under His mighty hand. Humility doesn't attempt to usurp His place. Humility prays before the mighty God, the one who cares for you. And humility works, doing the things that God calls you to do. So if you're worried about the political situation, if you're worried about someone's physical or spiritual health, your job or financial future, be humble. Don't worry. Humbly trust in God's care for you. Humbly pray to Him about these matters, committing them to His mighty and powerful hand. And then humbly work to do what God expects you to do. Like exercising your right to vote. Getting help with your kids. Getting counsel for your marriage. And when you practice these things, Paul says, God's peace will be yours. Let's pray. Father, thank You for loving us enough to speak to the issue of anxiety and worry. You know us through and through. You know our tendencies. You know how challenging this world can be. And You care for us, so much so that You address issues like this. We're grateful, Father, that you do care for us, and You care for us deeply. And we're grateful that You have made Yourself available to us to talk to. We can take the time and we can pour out our hearts before You to a God who truly cares and a God who is truly powerful and can do something about the issues in our lives. So, Lord, help us to humble ourselves under Your mighty hand, under Your loving care. Help us to trust You. Help us to obey You and do the things that You've called us to do. We're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for the life that He led and the death that He died so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins, even the sin of worry. It's covered. We're grateful for that. And we're grateful that You are with us and You will help us to grow and change and become more like Jesus, to be someone who truly trusts You and believes that You're here. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.